Chapter 9. What had happened at home? When Mr. Tulliver found out that he had lost the lawsuit, he seemed to bear the disappointment very well. He was a proud man, and he did not want Wakeham or anyone else to think that he had been crushed by the blow. He knew that the costs of the lawsuit were more than he could pay, but instead of despairing, he tried to think of ways to survive the disaster. For example, Mr. Furley owned the mortgage on the mill. He could sell the mill to Mr. Furley on condition that Mr. Furley let him continue to live there as a tenant. That way, Furley could keep the price of the mortgage, and Mr. Tulliver could use the rest of the money to pay the costs of the lawsuit, without the humiliation of being forced to leave the mill. He was sure that Mr. Furley would agree to this plan. Unfortunately, he had borrowed £500 from Mr. Dix, a prosperous businessman in St. Ogg's, 2 months earlier, so that he could pay his debt to Mrs. Glegg. At the time, he had been sure that he would win the lawsuit and have no trouble repaying Mr. Dix. So he had signed a paper saying that, if he could not pay, Mr. Dix would get all his household furniture. Now he had no hope of paying the £500, so Mr. Dix would have the right to take everything in the mill and leave them without a bed or a kitchen table. Mr. Tulliver hated asking his wife's family for help, but it had to be done. He would send Bessie to talk to Mrs. Glegg. He was sure that Mrs. Glegg would not let Bessie's furniture be taken away. These thoughts were running through his mind one evening as he rode home on horseback, when he met a messenger bearing a letter for him. The letter was from Mr. Tulliver's lawyer, who had spoken to Mr. Furley that day. With a flushed face and shining eyes, Mr. Tulliver opened the letter as the messenger rode away. It was a short message, but it took Mr. Tulliver a long time to make sense of it. It said that Mr. Furley, having money problems of his own, had sold Mr. Tulliver's mortgage to Wakeham. Half an hour later, a man riding by had found Mr. Tulliver lying on the road unconscious, with a letter gripped in his hand. Mr. Tulliver was taken home and put to bed. When he regained consciousness, he called Maggie's name, so Mrs. Tulliver sent a message to Miss Furness's school, asking Maggie to come home immediately. When Maggie arrived, the doctor told her that her father had had an attack and had lost his memory. Maggie rushed up to her father's room and sat beside his bed. He seemed pleased to see her, but could not speak. Mrs. Tulliver was very upset. She kept bursting into tears and calling for Tom. So, the next day, as we have seen, Maggie went to Stelling's school to get Tom. In the coach on the way home, she explained about the letter that had caused all this sorrow.
"So, it is Wakeham's fault,"
said Tom, frowning.
"I believe that man has always wanted to ruin my father. When I am grown up, I will make him pay for it. You must never speak to Philip again, Maggie."
When they got home, they found a strange man in the drawing room, sitting in Mr. Tulliver's chair, smoking a pipe.
"Good afternoon,"
he said, embarrassed by their startled young faces. Tom turned and walked quickly out of the room. Maggie followed him, whispering,
"Who is that?"
Suddenly she was afraid that the man's presence had something to do with her father's illness, so she rushed upstairs. But Mr. Tulliver was lying quietly in bed, with his eyes closed. Maggie and Tom searched the house for Mrs. Tulliver, but they could not find her. At last, they found her in the little storage room where she kept all her best things. There sat Mrs. Tulliver, surrounded by her best cups, saucers and plates, the ones she only used on very special occasions. The poor woman was shaking her head and weeping, hugging a silver teapot to her breast.
"Oh, Tom,"
she cried when she saw him.
"We're ruined. Everything will be salt. We shall be beggars. Even my best things will have to go. The things I wanted to leave to you one day, my boy. And to Maggie too, of course.
But, Mother,
said Tom,
will my aunts let all your things be sold? Have you asked them for help?
Yes, I have. But they say that I was foolish to marry your father, and that your father was foolish to go to law, and that now we are being punished for our foolishness. They say they will buy some of my best things at the auction so that they won't go to strangers. I've had to sit and watch while your father spent my fortune, and what should have been your fortune too. I told him not to go to law, but he never listened to me. And now he's brought me to ruin.
Tom put his arms around his mother and tried to comfort her. For the first time, he began to think that his father was to blame. It was his father's fault that a strange man was sitting in the drawing room. It was his father's fault that the whole family was now in disgrace, and people would talk about them with contempt. But he, Tom Tulliver, would behave like a man and take care of his mother. Maggie, meanwhile, had listened to her mother's complaints with growing anger. How could her mother criticise her father, who was lying ill, perhaps dying upstairs? What did it matter if the plates and the teapot had to be sold? Tom and her mother were thinking only of themselves. They were shutting Maggie out from the family disaster. At last her anger burst out and she cried,
Mother, how can you talk like that? As if you only cared about your things when my father is ill and may never be able to speak to us again.
She left the room and ran upstairs to sit by her father's bed.